4 Alpha, Lima, portable.
LL, go to 4 DJW.
Or anything else, I'm not sure what's going on with that, but
just that seems to be, that seems to be quite as good a signal. I'm sure it's got something with the conditions, maybe.
I was guessing, but I'm new to all this, so I was just kind of, I was going to wait and see what happened.
You know, I'm not really a good judge, at least my station isn't, since, you know, the antenna's inside. If I had an outdoor antenna, I think it'd be a lot different, but that don't mean the signal could be good, but that don't mean the noise ain't going to be there.
I receive you real clear, but like I say, just a little bit we've been talking, it's just static comes and goes on it. I'm assuming it's just the... you know, RF in the band, so I don't know.
I'm not running much power there. I can only run about 15 watts through this dielectric on the air. If I need to get I need to run two separate coaxes to the radio, one for the UHF and one for VHF, but I haven't done that yet. But normally 10 or 15 watts gets me in pretty good from here, but there again, it may be it's probably the conditions. I know all the satellite stuff's been a little noisy lately, too. I haven't been able to hear on the receive anyway. That, if it's on the receive, that's generally some local RFI problem here. But that's just what I'm noticing.
No, it's cleared up completely. You're clear as a bell on this end now.
Yeah, I turned the preamp on this end, and it sounds better. But I turned the power up just a little bit. That dye pressure is not supposed to be running much over about 10 watts. I'm running at about 20 now. I normally run about 25 watts to the other antenna, but these dye pressures it's just not meant for a lot of, it goes inside to handle these things. It's just not meant to handle a lot of power, and I don't want to burn the thing out. It's not imperative that I have one on it, because this radio's getting two outputs. So I don't have to have it. But right now I'm running a deflector into the duplexer out of the radio, into a duplexer, and then into a diplexer, run to a single coax, and run into a diplexer, coax into a diplexer, and it runs two out, one on the 144 side and one on the 70 centimeter side. It's a lot easier just to run two separate coaxes with this rig, but most rigs don't have separate, you know, antenna connections for UHF and VHF.
5100, it's just got one spoke, so that's all I'm running, 15 watts.
I said a little picket fencing, which is normal with a mobile when you're moving, but the audio sounds real good on it.
In 0TR mobile.
There goes the neighborhood, Jerry.
Well, I never... Well, possibly I might have a couple of times, but... Good evening, gentlemen. I know Jerry is, but I don't know who else is on there, but he sounds familiar. Well, we're headed down to get some chicken feed and maybe some dirt.
Tom and Bernice, this is Patrick on this end.
Hi, Patrick. Well, the truck ahead of me is a Nissan Titan. Beautiful truck. Got a bullet hole right in the middle of the end gate. Remind me not to go shooting with him. Go ahead, Jerry.
At least it was good. At least he got shot at going away. Yeah, they have those fake bullet holes people put on them now, but one of my buddies years ago went to some little joint up in Charlotte, and he went to some little joint one night, and he came back, and he had some real bullet holes in the trunk of his car, and I thought, oh, I'm so glad I didn't go with him.
You gotta be careful where you go down around Charlotte. You will get some real bullet holes, that's for sure.
Oh, something up there is roaring his engine and putting out a whole bunch of smoke. Gee, money. Well, we're just up here at Peggy's Diner on 101 and headed down there, so it's not too far. Yeah, and I don't plan on getting any bullet holes. I imagine that I've come close, though, back in the old hunting days back in Kansas. Those guys, if you accidentally was trespassing on the wrong farm back there, they get a bad case of closed quarters, Jerry.
I'm not, I haven't been hunting in years now. I used to be a very avid hunter, bow hunter, deer hunter, everything. But I haven't been in years now. Unless you go on private lands these days, it's really, I think it's pretty dangerous out there, especially if you're turkey. Deer hunting too, I mean, there's a lot of people in the woods now that don't have any background, weren't raised that way, as we used to say, Tom and Patrick, but they don't know much about it. They'll shoot at something that moves instead of seeing what they're shooting at. So that pretty well did me in on that. I still like to get out and target and shoot some, but that's about it with me nowadays.
Normally just hunt private land when I do hunt, and I just recently purchased 37 acres up here, so I'll be hunting my own land. I don't have to worry about it. If somebody else is there, they shouldn't be there.
I always tried to abide by the laws too, but I know one time we was quail hunting, and we had permission of the landowner, and it was this guy's brother. And he come roaring down there in his pickup truck down through the pasture and started cussing us and hollering at us. And by that time, here come his brother. And then those two got in a fight. And I was just a kid. It scared me to death. Apparently, there was a boundary line there that I think Clifford, my friend's dad, he was walking on the brother's side of the fence. And we were on the other side of the fence. And the brother was actually with Clifford, so he didn't think there'd be any problem with it, you know. And he was wrong. But anyways, somehow they got it resolved. So you can run into things like that at times. And I was going coyote hunting one morning, and some old boy by the name of Roberts come up, and he started doing that with me. And screaming at me. I hunt there from friends of my wife and her mother. And so I tried to explain it to him, and he was in a rage. And then he said, somebody drove out across my alfalfa field. I said, well, I'm not driving across your alfalfa field. Well, I own this land. You can't go back there. I said, no, sir. Mr. Roberts, you don't own it. I said, you own 1/8 of an 80. And I said, I ain't on that. He wouldn't shut up. Finally, he called me something that started with the southern oaky bug, we shall say. And when he did that, he stepped on my family's reputation. And when I stepped out with that big 38 Special Colt Officer's Model mat strapped to my side, I told him that if he didn't want to take his teeth home in a doggy bag, that he better not call me any names anymore. Well, this is my... I said, well, call the sheriff. Yeah, I will. I said, good. I'll wait here. I said, you jump in, I'll take you up and let you use the telephone up at Bernice's mom's house. Nope, didn't want to do that. I finally got tired of him, Jerry, and I just told my buddy Tom, I said, let's just go someplace else.
Hey, we run into people in our deer stands and all kinds of stuff over the years. Even on private property, we posted and didn't make any difference. But it got to where it was dangerous for a while because we were quail hunting on some property belonging to my uncle. We ran across a big steel, and we kind of backed out of that easy. This is back in the late 60s, I guess. About 1,500 gallon one. I mean, it was a big operation. It batted down on the creek. I hadn't hunted there in a long time, but me and my buddy went down there. I was probably 15, 16. I was driving there, 16, 17, I guess. We banked out of there, and the revenuers, like we used to call them, got in there and blew that thing up. And my buddy, he wanted to go down there and set it off. I said, don't you let anybody see you set that thing off. I said, man, I said, Dale. I said, you're talking about you taking somebody's living away from them when you do that in this part of the country. And he thought better of it, never did it, I don't think. But I wasn't about to show up there. But I had to say something about it since it was on my uncle's property. I didn't want them to think he was he had anything to do with it. He was kind of an absentee landlord. He lived in Atlanta, and this was over in rural part of Georgia. But anyway, you got to be careful these days. You might run up on somebody's batch, too.
Now, I am going to have to hop out here, but I wanted to ask Tom how Bernice was doing with her eyes since she had her surgery last week. I hadn't heard.
Oh, no problems whatsoever, Patrick. She's going to have the other one done in a week or so.
Good to hear, and I'm glad of that. But I'm going to say 7-3 to you gentlemen. Both of you have a good evening. And I'll be listening. I just got to hop out for a little bit.
Patrick, have a good evening, young man.
And Patrick, you have a good day. Yeah, well, I ran into several things like that before, Jerry, and there's some people you just can't reason with. It doesn't matter whether or not you're right or wrong. That old boy wasn't going to change his mind, and the sheriff wouldn't have done him any good because I had permission to hunt there. But you know what? It just kind of ruined the day for me. And I thought, you know, the best way to get out of a situation like that is to avoid the confrontation. And so we just picked up and went someplace else and went hunting. But it still upsets you for the rest of the day, you know. there are people like that out there. And that Roberts, he was one of them. And another one time let some guys in on Bernice's mom's place where I'd been waiting all year. And I drawed one permit out of a possible 2,300 to go deer hunting that year. And when I come out, they were sitting up in the trees above me, and I didn't even see them. And I was walking in waist-deep or higher brush. As I come through that slough, it's a wonder they didn't shoot me, because I was camouflaged, but I had an orange vest on, I guess. And the neighbor had, without Bernice's mom's permission, given permission to hunters be hunting on her land. And I asked him not to, and, you know, nicely, I went up to the house, and I said, those guys might have shot me, Johnny, and boy, I mean, he went ballistic. And I said, well, it's Adeline's land, it's not yours. Well, I've been telling people to do that for years. And I said, well, you're wrong. I said, I don't want to get killed. He wasn't going to change his mind, though, Jerry.
People think that they own the land next door to them, and they think if somebody's used, they just walk out. I mean, that was that way for years. It's a little more cautious now, but they'll sure trespass if they can. And I was talking to a guy. Had a similar situation years about a year ago. He had somebody was letting people on his property and acting like it was his own and building stands in the trees and that sort of thing. This guy had about 1,000 acres. It was a big piece of property. That guy went down there and tore all those stands down and put trail cams up. Got people, you know, got numbers, he got the tag numbers. He called the sheriff on them, and they gave him a warning. They said, next time you sit on, they said, well, you won't stop. I said, man, I'll stop. He said, but next time you get on, they said, this guy, we're going to take you to the pokey. This has been a long time ago, but that guy was telling me about it a year or so ago. But, you know, some of these sheriffs, they don't take too kindly to people trespassing on land. It's dangerous, and they got no business doing it either. But I never did. And I very seldom hunted on anything unless it was family property or public land or something like that.
I'll tell you one other one that happened, then I got to go into Tractor Supply here, Jerry. I always took my developmentally disabled friend with me, and he was in a thing called Class Limited. And I'd always take him fishing with me, or else I would take this fella that was elderly, which I'm up in that area now, that couldn't get out. And he was in his 70s, like 78, I think. And his name was James W. Glidewell. And he's passed away now. And I had a card from a fella that did mineland conservation reclamation. And give me permission to fish in the south pasture pond. So I took Jimmy along with me, and we was down there. It was a long walk down to this small pond, but it was worth it. And we were having a good time, and here come this big, fancy pickup truck down there. And he almost turned that thing over coming down there through the pasture. And he come over there and started hollering and cussing and this and that. And I said, Red, do you recognize me? Yeah. And I said, well, do you recognize this signature on this card? And he looked at the card and said, Tom has permission to fish in the south pasture pond. And he turned red as a bee, and he says, well, that was last year. Times change. And you got somebody else with you? I said, yeah, he's 78 years old. I said, he can't even hear you. And I said, has a hard time getting around. And I said, I don't think he's going to fish your pond dry. And, I guess you got, and this was after he did all this cussing and raving, I guess you guys can go ahead and stay. And I said, no, you take your card and you put it where the sun don't rise, and we'll be leaving, and we won't come back. There's lots of places to fish.
That kind of stuff didn't surprise me. I said, I always asked permission. It was a pond I used to fish down in South Georgia when I lived down there. It was really good bass pond, brim pond. The old guy down there had owned it. Each of the years he went up to his house, he wanted to pay him $2 to fish in. He had a boat down in there that we'd go down and we'd pay $2 to fish in, lock the gate up, and all that sort of stuff. And I never, one of the guys, my lifelong buddy and I, we went down there several times, and we never let anybody else know about that. And then the next year, somebody found out we were fishing, went down there and trespassed on it. That guy, evidently, Tom, that guy had gone down there with a shotgun. He was holding him at gunpoint for the sheriff to get him off his land. All they had to do is go up at his house and he paid him $2. He'd let him fish on it all day long. But they just going to be popping about it. And, they opened the gate up, drove through the gate, and then the whole 9 yards. I said, you don't open people's gate, pasture gates, and that sort of thing. Even back then, you did. Well, I'll let you go, Tom. Good talking to you. And y'all have a good evening. I hope Bernice's next appointment goes well. Also, N0TR, N4DJC.
Okay, Gary. You brought to mind one other one, and then I'll jump out. But my dad worked with a fellow by the name of Lowell Giesler, who was his best friend. And he was a foreman over at the railroad there at the last, where my dad worked. And he owned 180 acres out south of town. And I'd take Jimmy with me, or Alan, either one, the handicapped fella, and we'd go out there. Well, one day I was at work, and somehow Robarts was his name. The other guy's name was Roberts, I was talking about earlier. And this guy was a huge farmer, and he leased that land. And he actually combined around the perimeter and left me a road where I could go back there and fish, or Lowell or one of his boys could. And so he had beans planted, and it was probably 8 inches tall. Just had come up good. Well, one day I was at work, and nobody called me at work other than vendors or that. And they come out in the office and got me and said, there's a guy on the phone wants you. And so I picked it up, and man, he was mad. He says, Tom, did you run across my bean field there? He had like 80 acres in beans, soybeans, with your truck. And I said, now, Mr. Robarts, why in the world would I do that when you leave me a road to drive around the side? Well, I don't know, but somebody drove straight across it out to the pond and then didn't even come back in the same tracks right over those newly planted soybeans that had come up. And I mean, that guy was hot. And I said, no, sir, it wasn't me. And I said, that'd be kind of unthoughtful for me to do something like that when you're gracious enough to leave me a path down there. And I finally convinced him it wasn't me, but I was tried and convicted before he ever called me on the phone. And at that time, I was pretty young at the job there, and you didn't take calls like that out in the shop, you know. But anyway, he got over it, but I just never went back out there anymore either. I didn't want to be accused of that. Anybody that run across a man's crops just to go fishing, and they do it now and then. I don't know, that's lower than whale dung, and that's at the bottom of the sea, you know, Jerry, as we said in the Navy. Jerry, I'll see you later. And we're going to go in this time, 73s, in for DJC. This is in 0 TR, 73s, Jerry.